Yo,
what's going on?
Ain't nothing, nothing. What's up with you?
Ain't nothing, man. Cooler, man.
Got a special edition here for the Hills today. I'm gonna be reviewing the results and our reactions, or other people's reactions too, I guess, of AEW's All Out pay per view 2021. Man, this man, what a pay-per-view. How do you feel about this overall?
Yeah, man, this was an amazing pay-per-view. Like, I try to live in the moment, man, but it's one of the best pay-per-views I've ever seen, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely don't want to live in the moment, but man, from beginning to end, super solid. Of course, there's a couple of, you know, we'll get to those two, but you wanna talk about the pre-show, or you just wanna get into the card?
I didn't see the pre-show either. So we get to rush straight to the card. But shout out, it seemed like it was a big deal. The Butcher came back. A lot of people were happy about that. So shout out to that. But I didn't really watch the pre-show.
Yeah, I didn't either. No disrespect. I'm not sure who, like you said, the Butcher came back. I think Jurassic Express was involved, if I'm not mistaken. And the Hardy Family Office. Hopefully I said that right. That's the real name, I think. Okay. But getting into the card, right into it. First match of the night, we get Eddie Kingston versus Miro for the TNT Championship. This feud has been building for the last couple of weeks. These guys have been trash talking each other the last few weeks. Eddie Kingston was saying that Miro has a very weak point in his body. His upper body is very weak. Therefore, his kryptonite is the DDT. Hit several of those last night. In a heavyweight fight, this was like more, this is a good brawl to kick the show off, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Miro, of course, ended up retaining a nice little cool spot where, during the course of the match, the turnbuckle was exposed and there was a spot where the referee's in the corner, and well, he's near the corner anyway, and Eddie Kingston's trying to throw Miro into this exposed turnbuckle. The ref stops him, and Miro's like hugging over the ref, and then he just like, it's a low blow. The ref couldn't see it, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then from that point, he goes, do you consider those super kicks that he does, even though they're not like
super high up and stuff like that? Yeah, it's a variation of a super kick.
Okay. So it's a few of these super kicks that ends up picking up the victory. How'd you feel about this match to start the show?
It was a good, solid match, man. Like you said, man, it was a nice brawl, very physical, intense match, man. A lot of chops and slaps, man. Both of these guys' chests are red as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, cool spot with the turnbuckle. But I say, I don't see that too often where a referee jumping, like, hey, nah, you can't use that. You know what I'm saying? And then going back, I like some of them dirty tactics, how Miro used a low blow. You know what I'm saying? Like old Hills used to do, like the back rakes and stuff like that, reminiscing of Ric Flair. So I definitely love that touch. And glad Miro picked the victory, man. I'm so happy for Miro, man. It was a great match. Great match to start off.
Definitely a great match. Eddie Kingston, I had no recollection of who Eddie Kingston was before AEW, but he's definitely one of those talents. I think he was clearly around in the indie circuit because he's well known, just not by me. And he's like a very solid talent all around. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So jumping into the next match, which involved Eddie Kingston's tag team partner, Mr. Jonathan Moxley versus Satoshi Kojima. Think I got it. A legend from New Japan Pro Wrestling, that territory. Older guy, so was slightly stiff, you can see in the ring, you know what I mean? But another match that was like a brawl. This is, although these not heavyweights, these are two battlers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sluggers.
Yeah, John Moxley, he's not no technical wrestler.
Don't high fly, none of that.
Yeah, he wants to hurt you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I never heard of the other guy before tonight, so I'm just assuming he's the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you got to forgive us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not casual fans, but like, we're from America, honestly. So like, aren't too privy. You know what I'm saying, to the New Japan and getting links and stuff like that for that, and the time difference. You know what I'm saying? So forgive us. We're growing.
Yeah. So. After a nice back and forth match, John Moxley ended the way. I think he hit two, but he hit one during the course of the match, and then one obviously at the end of the match.
I think he used two of them at the end of the match to
release. Oh yeah, back to back. Okay,
yeah.
Just for this dude, the paradigm shift, is that what it's called? In AEW, yeah, 1, 2, 3. Was celebrating slightly after the match, you know, at least by John Mox standards, before being approached by another New Japan Pro Wrestling legend. Now, I'm Suzuki. I'm hoping that's just how you say it.
Yeah.
It looks simple, but you know, with them, you never know. So, I've never heard of Suzuki either. What about you?
Yeah, never heard of him either, man. But walk through that, what they call it, the forbidden door.
Yes, sir.
Came out there to challenge him. And like I said to you earlier, man, this shit is cool. It's like, instead of having like a stare contest, they mixed it up. And he got the better of John, you know what I'm saying, promote a future match.
Facts.
So it was cool.
Right. And I guess we'll probably say this a few times going forward, but also like the Suzuki, the crowd already knows his music, singing along to his music, you know?
Yeah, like this AEW crowd is like wrestling fans, you know what I'm saying? Like they be hip, they be knowing, and that's why like, and I think WWE fans to a certain extent are like that too, and that's why like Vince need to just cut the shit out with all his dumb rules and stuff like that. Like, the fans are just too privy to knowledge for you to keep trying to, like, throw bullshit at them.
Right. And like you were saying off air, with the technology, there's literally a camera everywhere. So even if you try to act like something's not happening, somebody's going to catch it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, all that... Oh, don't act like you're a real couple. Somebody's going to catch y'all at dinner. Somebody's going to catch, you know, in the grocery store.
Social media is like, yo, how can you hide your love from someone? You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus, Vince.
So that will bring us to our second championship match of the night, which will see Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus Chris Statlander. And what was the tweet that you sent me? Somebody was saying, how could they have this match before the
Yeah, they were saying, how could they possibly have this match before the Casino Battle Royal? Like, we were like, bruh, like, it's all good. It's not like it's the Money in the Bank.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Even still, like.
Yeah, like a person person didn't have to cash into, and then considering what happened at the end of the night, now you know, you clearly see, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Just that's some, I don't know, it's just like entitled fans. I mean, sometimes we do it too, but like, just gotta chill, like just let the shit play out, you know what I'm saying? Critique it later, critique it after. Let the dust settle then, you know what I'm saying?
Because you never know what could happen.
Right.
So I'm a huge fan of both of these chicks. We've already been high on Britt Baker. I didn't know too much about Chris Statlander outside that she hangs out with Mr. Hands in the Pocket, Orange Cassidy.
Freshly squeezed.
Yeah, freshly squeezed. Mm-hmm. So she can wrestle. And this was one of those occasions where you're looking at two females like, wow, they're not just in here for looks. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And this was a nice, solid match. Britt Baker picked up the W. And it, without making Statlander look bad, like it coming out of this match, you could have easily thought that Chris Statlander could have won that title. You know what I mean?
100%.
So how'd you feel about that?
Man, this was an amazing match, man. And like I'm hound bit breaking now. But like I said, I wasn't always. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always talked about just AEW in general. And one of the things we said is like they gotta improve their women's division.
Right.
And I'll apologize. Like, I mean, I still think they got some work they can do with it, of course. But like, these women are way better than what I thought they were. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying? Granted, like I hear the interviews from like a Ruby Soho and a few others, Tony Khan. Britt Baker's come a long way. So when I was watching Britt Baker when AEW was like still new, like it's new now, but like when it was newer, like in this first year,
mm-hmm.
when she was hurt and doing her promo, she didn't bring me in.
All right.
So I wasn't really quite a fan yet. But as of late, when she on her title run, she's won me over.
All right.
And I wasn't too familiar with Statlander. Like Ruby mentioned, they have like a ton of women.
Right.
Like, not like WWE, like a lot of people get shy. Mm-hmm. So you might see her one time, granted, she lose or something like that. So you might not be hiring, you might not get to see her. But like, maybe it's on me. Maybe I need to start watching the Evolutions and the AEW Dark and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That's what like some of these people get to shine before they get to the Rampage and Dynamite.
Right.
But yeah, I walked away a fan of both of these ladies. And that's just how you do it. Like, you don't have to win to get over. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
and that's like a theme of like what happened like a lot tonight and what AEW is doing versus what WWE is doing.
Mm-hmm. And up until this point in the pay-per-view, another thing I like about AEW, this pay-per-view, was the structure of the car. Each match was building. It was almost like put together like a train. Each match is building momentum for the next match.
Mm-hmm.
And when we left this match, we were already impressed and saying how Britt Baker and Chris Statlander looked like two stars in the ring. And whenever you have two stars in the ring, it you normally got to outdo that by having more stars in the ring. And boy, did we get just that with maybe, not even maybe. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I know you probably can agree with me. I'm going to say this is the runaway match of the year that we're about to talk about.
definitely in that conversation. Like, good luck to anybody who's trying to come for this. Like, oh, my God.
Which will bring us to the third championship match of the night, which will see the AEW Tag Team Champions, the Elite Young Bucks, taking on the Lucha Brothers. And not even out of the gate, from the entrance, we knew it was something with the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah, it's like, you know how me and you guys, we look for little things like that to see how this match is about to go. And no disrespect to the Young Bucks entrance, because it was great. Like, we talked about, like, you notice they have like different entrance music, mm-hmm. from like the Elite Jones, and they got their own couple Jones and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this intro's right here. I don't understand a word they're saying, but I'm rocking them.
This is fire. Only word you understand is when he say Mexico. That's the only,
that's right.
The only thing.
A lot. He doing it for the culture. Okay.
You see niggas out here with sombreros on. Niggas got masks on, and cuz is rapping, and they got the fire flames popping, and
it's a spectacle.
And I'm like, hold on, who is these niggas again?
I'm like, yeah, they got this. That's like the first thing I said. I'm like, yeah.
And once
I said, what'd you send me?
No, once you said that, I was like, I mean, after that interest, it's hard to say no. I don't like in WWE. I think Triple H is probably the only person I could think of who would have an out of this world entrance at a WrestleMania and then consistently lose that match. I think I've seen that about 5 or 6 times in Triple H. But other than that, entrances like that normally mean one thing. It's a coronation. You know what I'm saying? But getting to that point was nothing short of spectacular. Mm-hmm. This is one of those matches where even if you watch the highlights, that's not enough. You have to see this whole match. The whole match would be the highlight. Everything. I was so impressed with like it was big spots and it was little spots. I was impressed with like the little thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It made tag team wrestling seem more realistic. If you and your partner's in the ring against two other people at the same time, and they had these spots where, you know, I say me and you partners, and if I throw the person towards the rope before he even get there, you're already doing the move on him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And other little points in the match where it's like, oh, well, my opponent got the better of me while you getting the better of the other dude. It ain't always two up at the same time and two down at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And little things like that. And aside from a flurry of all these moves that was on display, and we got to talk about, Lord have mercy, we have to talk about the spike ones. How'd you feel about the spike ones?
Man, that was an amazing spot. It just brought endless content to the match. And then, like, I'm wondering if that's a real shoe. They probably don't indulge in fakes. But that is a $2,000 to $3,000 shoe that you rigged to put spikes on it.
Mm.
Like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And he throws the bag in the ring. I'm like, what's in this bag?
Right.
And it's so good because, like, it's so creative. Like, even Tony just hit me up and was like, saying that's creative. I'm like, that's true to their character. You know, they're big shoe heads.
Mm-hmm.
And to use the Jones, super kick people, take the joint off, hit people in the face with it, him standing on the top of the turnbuckle, them throwing people into the shoe, rubbing. Like, it was an amazing spot. It was an amazing spot.
Amazing. When we have these matches, you know, as it gets closer to the end of the match, you know, in the wrestling world, they have what you call false finishes, where it seems like this person's getting the momentum. They're about to pick up the win. I don't know if we've seen a match where it was so many twists and turns towards the end of a match.
Yeah.
Like, all the false finishes, the super kicks, the knees, and the double team specials and stuff like that. And it just leads to the Lucha Brothers. I know one dude's name is Ray Phoenix. I think it's Ray Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the other dude's name. Penta.
Yeah, Penta, yeah.
Penta, there we go. Yeah, they pick up this crazy, crazy win and become the new AEW tag team champions. And this might, like we've been saying, this might have been the tag team match I might have ever seen in my life. I don't know.
Yeah, best tag team match, best match I ever seen. On the best pay-per-view I've ever seen. And like, just to rehash what you said about the whole so many false finishes, like, I went into the match thinking they were going to win. It's time for the Bucks to drop the belts. But the match was told so well, I'm like, oh, man. Like you said, I'm like, I see what's going on. They about to hit the little V-trigger move and all that. Like,
yeah.
Because they did some other crazy move. And then, you know what I'm saying, like how like they did a move on the other guy to render him helpless so he can't break up the Jones. Then they about to hit him with the V-trigger.
Uh-huh.
It's a wrap. There's no way. But
he kicks out.
Goes on. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kicks out. Then the crazy spot, I'm like, what is it? Because, like, that's the thing with AEW. You never know what's going to happen. So when guy do goes on top of the rope, I'm thinking because they had just did that move off the top of the ropes, and like, is he about to? Because he singles out, he's about to do that on the top of the cage,
right?
But end up still doing something still crazy, like the crossbody from the top ropes. To, I mean, from the top of the cage is crazy,
too. Right?
But yeah, man.
Yeah, and just to say, like, this was so great. There's not no effective way to like really recap this.
Yeah, it's like I'm just remembering more stuff. Like you remember, like the little super kick circle.
Yeah, right.
And then you thought it was over, and the Bama start like I don't even know what you call it, but like the little kick out when you're off your back, and then Bama start super kicking each other some more.
The little Shawn Michaels type dunk. Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
Yeah,
I told Game, I was like, bro, like I know you ain't no wrestling fan, but like if you see this joint, like I'm saying, like this joint, like match of the year, and I think what's it like, Daniel Bryant or Danielson, excuse me, say something like that. It's like just amazing wrestling. It doesn't matter if you're a wrestling fan, you're gonna love it because it's just amazing. The storytelling that goes into it, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, it so many that man, it makes you that it's one of those matches. This was one of those pay per views where it's like, you know, if wrestling was always like this, niggas wouldn't mind paying for pay-per-view.
And you hit that nail on the head. I felt bad for illegally streaming this. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. I'm like, you know, it's all said and done. I went to go use the bathroom, like, because the match is over. I didn't want to miss nothing. I'm like, damn, they could have got 50.
Yeah. That is utterly crazy. So I'm loving to see where the tag team division is going to go after this, especially since we got some, looks like we got some new blood in it, so to speak, you know what I mean? But we'll get to that later on. So moving right along, we're going to get into the Casino Battle Royal. So this is a tough match to follow, but you know, this was the most uncertain match left on the card, at least I felt like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The rest of the matches you knew were going to be good, but you kind of knew who was going to win all of these matches after this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, the rules of the Casino Battle Royal is there's 5 women to each suit of cards. You know, the hearts, the diamonds, the clubs, and the spades. And then there's a joker. And every 3 minutes, 5 women from each suit come out. And then, you know, you're eliminated over the top rope. And whoever wins gets a title shot at the women's championship down the line. I'm guessing that that next pay-per-view probably, which is, I think, in early November, if I'm not mistaken. So, of course, there are a lot of women in this match, but we could just gotta get to the Joker, man. Ruby Soho, formerly known as Ruby Riott, Riott Squad leader in WWE NXT, made her shocking date. Well, I guess it wasn't too shocking. Still was, you know, it wasn't shocking, but made her debut, highly anticipated, if you will.
Definitely.
And won this Casino Battle Royal, and I like this for her. The only thing I didn't like about her is that she eliminated my little boo thing, Cargill. You know what I'm saying? But you know, you might handle that down the line sometime. But anyways, yeah, she picked up this W, so she's insured to have a nice title shot. Crowd's going crazy when she came out. Crowd's going crazy when she won. How did you feel about this?
Man, this was a great, great, great match, man. It's like I'm torn.
Okay.
It's like, because I, like I said, I loved it for Ruby. She was getting love before she even came out. They were showing the graphic of the Joker. You could hear the crowd going crazy. Ruby Soho. And then to see her come out, take it all in, like she was like super emotional. And mm-hmm. then later on saying she never got like no love like that from a crowd. And she never won no titles on while she was on TV, and to get mm-hmm. thrust into this match, winning it, a potential shot, well, not a shot, a shot later on at the belt. It's like crazy. I'm super happy for her. But it's like I'm a little bit torn because I don't know. Sometimes I don't like that. Like,
what you mean?
Newcomer just getting tossed right into the championship match. Because like you said, it's a lot of women down there been working hard, like the Jades.
Right.
The Rosas.
Thunder Rosa, yep.
Tay Conti. Yeah. And one of my favorites, Red Velvet. So it's like, yeah.
Right.
So I'm torn, but hey, whatever moves the needle.
And it moved it.
Right. So I mean, and then like what I'm hearing is like, at least as of right now, like a lot of people don't have problems with stuff like that right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So hopefully, like, there's no egos nothing back there. No, not too many people too sour. But other than that, it was a great moment. Super happy for Ruby. It was a great match. Like a lot of women shined in the match. Like you said, the booking was good. Mm-hmm. No one looked like weak or like took a hit to their persona or their stock. I think everyone still can come out here and potentially go for the championship next after whatever happened with Ruby and Britt.
Right. And a little tidbit to like piggyback off what you just said is 21 women in total, four times five, and then you add Ruby Soho, and nobody like immediately comes out into the ring and then is eliminated 2 seconds later. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like everybody got a chance to at least showcase something. You know what I mean? So it ain't, you won't, at least you'll get to do something so you won't be the butt of the jokes. Oh, you know, such and such, as soon as they got in the ring, got thrown out. You know what I mean?
Automatically, the quickest elimination in AEW history.
Yeah. So, like, when we watch these pay-per-views, we're definitely, like, looking at little things like that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And just the smallest things like that can mess up a person's mental, you know. And then
stock, you trying to push them later on, like
right.
WWE is having a problem now. You done killed so many people on the roster with dumb moves.
Mm-hmm.
Now you kind of need these people to combat what's going on in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck trying to dig yourself out of that hole.
Facts. So, shout out to Ruby Soho. Definitely was a crazy debut, which would bring us to another highly anticipated match on this card, which is the one of my old school favorites. I used to love these type of matches when I was a kid. Career-ending matches. MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman versus Chris Jericho. If Chris Jericho loses, he can never wrestle again in AEW. When I was a kid, bro, I used to love these type of matches. And I used to want to see the person whose career was on the line lose all the time.
Even if, well, I tell you, none of your people were like with the ultimatum, or you ain't care.
Nah, I ain't never see like, there was never no Shawn Michaels in no. Never no Shawn Michaels in no. I would hate the fucking match. Like, I love Shawn Michaels so much. Like, when Undertaker was beating the shit out of him in that Hell in a Cell, it made me hate the Undertaker. Like, that's why I don't bang with him like that to this day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
So, but this was like, it was an okay match. Me personally, I'm more so like the tease ending of this match. MJF, of course, end up doing this move and then pinning Jericho. Jericho gets his feet up on the ropes before the three count, but the ref doesn't see it, so she counts the three count. Everybody in the arena is shocked that Chris Jericho just lost. MJF is celebrating that he just ended Chris Jericho's career. Referee comes over there like, you know, with some football type shit. You know, hey, I was watching this, you know, check the replay and this and that. His foot was on the rope, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Go over to the ring announcer. They restart the match. And after a quick little, you know, tussle, I guess, for a couple of minutes, Chris Jericho ends up picking up this victory via submission with the Walls of Jericho. This is Vince's Jericho here. You definitely knew Chris Jericho was going to win this match. Well, all the momentum AEW is building and sailing on, his star power is a big reason why. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't give up on that nowhere near right now. You know what I mean? MJF still comes out of this looking strong because technically in the feud, MJF is three. He's three up on Jericho, and this is his first loss against Jericho. It's just happened to be at the pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
So he still comes out of this looking strong, 3-1. He's going to be a prick going forward. We looked up MJF. He's 23 or some shit like that.
Yeah, super. Yeah, one of the youngest guys on the roster.
Right. So he's not going nowhere no time soon. You know what I mean? Which would bring us to the most anticipated match of the night. And once we review this match, I definitely want to speak on something as far as like the brain trust of Tony Khan, because you know this was something strategically done. But let's go over the match first. CM Punk's return debut, 7.5 years out of the wrestling ring, he returns to take on the young, talented, gifted Darby Allin. Before I get into the match, I wasn't a big fan of Darby Allin at first. He's grown on me though. I like Darby Allin now.
Okay.
Like he reminds me of like a mixture of like Sting and Jeff Hardy put together.
Okay.
CM Punk, you could tell he hasn't wrestled in a while, so it took him in the beginning they're filling each other out. It's a very slow-paced match starting off, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he's trying to be like super careful doing moves and stuff like that. But it feels like once it got to like maybe the middle of the match, you know, things got going good. He pretty much just, at least the story they was telling, he pretty much just outsmarted Darby Allin. You could tell he was inexperienced at times, and CM Punk took full advantage of that and obviously picked up a win in his return match. How'd you feel about this?
Yeah, it was a good match. Like you said, they definitely started slow with like the tussles in the middle of the ring. Definitely wanted to pace himself because that was like one of his big concerns was cardio. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to keep up with him, not look too tired in the ring. Mm-hmm. But definitely like a lot of twists and turns. Hit him with the go to sleep. Darby falls out of the ring. Like nice spots, nice spots. Darby had like a lot of his suicide dives on him. And like kudos for Punk at like 42, better to take them bumps, take them dives. It was a great, great, great match. And like you said, y'all smarter than him. Went for the coffin dive. I got you, youngster.
Yeah. Speaking of this, did you see the pre-match package?
No, I don't think I did.
You know how before each match they go over like the video package of like the two competitors, and when it got to Darby Allin's package, his was like they wasn't doing highlights, they wasn't doing like the review. His was like a vignette, and he was zipping somebody up in a body bag. He hooked the body bag up to this rope, and he hopped in the helicopter. And the helicopter flew up into the air, basically dangling the body bag. You could see like whoever the person was, an arm like had slid out the body bag and it was moving. And then all of a sudden it stopped moving. You know what I'm saying? While the helicopter's like hanging in the air. And then he looks down and looks up at the camera and then he jumps out the helicopter. And then when he jumped out the helicopter, his music started. And that's, you know, it was him coming out or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, so it just came back to me right there. So that was like a tough little way to get started too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely look forward to seeing what Punk's going to be doing next. And Darby Allin, man. Darby Allin has Sting in his corner as his protege. Another thing that we always talk about is like, when you want to create stars or pass the torch, you got to have, like, your icons with these young upstarts. You know what I mean?
Right. You know what I'm saying? The people who can't do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they just need a little nudge. You know what I'm saying? Like, look what happened with Roman. They was trying to get Roman over for so long. You finally put him next to a legend and boom. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Just that fast. So definitely look forward to seeing what's coming up next down the turnpike. So the next match, which we both agree should have been on the pre-show. Paul White, formerly known as The Big Show, versus QT Marshall. I think you said this, that the only reason this match is right here is to give the fans a breather.
Yeah.
From all that's been happening so far. Cause it's literally like when you scroll through these like card matches, it's literally like nonstop action every single match.
Ascending it. Greatness.
From Eddie Kingston and Miro up to Jon Moxley against these Chinese legends to Britt Baker and Statlander to Ruby Soho debuting to MJF versus Chris Jericho. Also tidbit from the Chris Jericho thing, the lead guitarist from Fozzy performed his song on his entrance.
Yeah, that was dope.
Definitely was dope. No words, but of course, don't, you know, no worries. The crowd had him. man. But yeah, so we'll get to the Paul White versus QT Marshall thing. I'm not a QT Marshall fan. I don't even know if I'm a Paul White fan, to be honest with you. But
that's not the other. No disrespect.
Right. So this is a quick match. Not too much to even talk about. Obviously, Big Show is Big Show. So a choke slam, boom, get the pin. You know, his group, I forget what it's called, the warehouse, the factory, something like that. I think it's the factory. Tries to jump him. Of course, you know, Big Show is, they got him looking super strong for some reason. I don't know. You even want to talk about this, or what do you think?
I ain't got nothing to say about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so let's let's move on to the coup de grace. No pun intended, Finn Balor. Of this pay-per-view. Well, outside of that tag team match. This upcoming segment, the main event in the segment, I had to rival that tag team match for like the what the fuck moment of the night.
Uh-huh.
So this would be, which is probably my favorite type of match in wrestling from kid to now. Champion versus champion. I love champion versus champion matches, man. Even though both titles weren't on the line, takes away a little bit of the luster, but AEW World Champion Kenny Omega, who is heavily touted as the best wrestler in the world, versus Christian Cage, the TNA Impact World Champion. He defeated Kenny Omega to win the Impact World Championship. I'm guessing the two titles, they merged it into one title now, because lately he's only been carrying one title.
I think he retired the original or something like that.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay, so yeah, it makes sense. Now he's only walking around with one championship. I had to take aback my notion that Christian was done, because I thought he was done. Thanks a lot, WWE. But
right.
Christian can still wrestle at a high clip. And he has like a lot of movesets that was like, you could tell he grew up in a wrestling community. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Obviously, there's just so much to say about Kenny Omega. Like, what is Kenny Omega, like 30, 34, 33 or some shit like that?
I ain't hear you, like, blocked out for a second. What happened?
Oh, my bad. Oh, I was saying, obviously, there's so much to say about Kenny Omega. And I was saying, like, what is he, like, 33, 34, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, definitely, like, mid-early 30s, yeah.
Yeah, so even he has a long way to go. And he's already called the best wrestler in the world, which is crazy. The arsenal on this guy is ridiculous.
Yes.
Like that whole elite group is just like something so special, right?
Yeah.
I think you called it earlier the V trigger.
Yeah, that, I think that's what they call it. That move, you know what I'm saying? They hold the arms up and hit with the knee and all that shit.
Yeah. So Kenny Omega does that. He does that. He did that a few times as well. He does the V trigger, something called like a snapdragon. Obviously the clover leaves. It back and forth match. Obviously Kenny Omega would like try to get help from what's the guy's name? Mr. Callis, Don Callis.
Yeah.
The Good Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Before being set up for a one winged angel off the top rope. And my favorite moment of the match, I told you off air, was him setting Christian up with his move. And it's been, I don't know, can't remember the last time we just watched like these matches where it's like every fan's rising to their feet screaming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like every fan is just like anticipating something crazy happening. Like everybody got to see this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he ends up hitting this one winged angel off the top rope. 1, 2, 3. He retains his title. Excellent match from Christian. The Good Brothers slide in the ring. Don Callis slides in the ring, congratulating Kenny Omega. The Young Bucks, who just had match of the night and match of the year, limp on down to the ring. Getting in, trying to celebrate, but they damn near falling over and whatnot. And Kenny Omega is doing his, I like him, he's doing his smooth heel shtick, you know what I mean? he's like being arrogant, but he's being so laid back. It's almost hard to believe him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like you just want to say, oh, shut up, you're a good guy, you know what I mean? But he's like, you know, everybody enjoyed the show. That's all I know how to do. You know, last thing I got to do tonight is to send the fans home happy. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, without further ado, and then it goes black. And Adam Cole makes his AEW debut. And crowd's going nuts. Adam Cole comes out. I think I called this a couple of weeks ago. I said he would fit right in with these guys. It's looking like it's a stare off at first. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then he does his normal drop down with the fingers intact. And then when he comes back up, whole arena sounded like every single person in the arena, loud as they could, Adam Cole, baby.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And quick stare down. And then, of course, one of the Jungle Express guys is slowly rising to his feet before eating a super kick. And just what all these other faces want to see, another person joining the elite, super kicking somebody's head off. starts hugging with the Young Bucks. Kenny Omega is saying, oh, you thought he was against us? This is one of our best friends. And we got a new member of the elite. So before we get to what's next, how did you feel about this?
Man, it was a rush, man. Great, amazing match. So many spots in that match. So many great moves and maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
Teasing for all the different crazy moves. About to get hit on the table from the apron.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, the one winged angel off the top rope. Oh my god.
Mm.
What a way to end it, you know what I'm saying? And then thinking, you know what I'm saying, he winding down, thinking, oh, this is the end of it. He talking this shit, and he's saying, can't nobody beat me. Everybody's either tired or dead or something like that. Then his music hits, like, oh. And then the swerve. I'm thinking, like, okay, Adam Cole, good guy. But nope, they did what they're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? They didn't try to overthink it too much and, you know what I'm saying? Because that's a lot of heels in AEW. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they didn't try to force it. They let him go ahead and be a heel. Then they have their moment. Then he tries to send us off again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you take it away.
So he tries to send us off again.
And one of the most iconic sounds in professional wrestling history echoes through the sounds. Once you hear the Bryan Danielson, formerly known as Daniel Bryan, makes his AEW debut with the hip hop version, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely hip hop, edgier version
of his theme song, which was super fire. That was fire. So out comes Bryan Danielson, and he's sliding down to the ring. Crowd's just going crazy. There's half the crowd is like screaming to the top of their lungs, and the other half is screaming to the top of their lungs with the yes chants. Surprisingly, he didn't do it. But, you know, I guess the brain thought was to he's going to get a big pop anyway. You could save that yes thing for another night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Gets into the ring. To help out the Jurassic Express. Kenny Omega slides out, by the way. And then it's 4-on-3. The good guys overtake the bad guys. And the Elite is retreating up the ramp as this pay-per-view goes off the air. What a show.
Yeah, man. It was amazing. And just a quick tidbit, I don't know.
Go ahead.
I listened to him talking in an interview. Mm-hmm. He's not sure about the intellectual property of it. You know what I'm saying? He can't get in trouble for the crowd saying it, but he didn't really want to dive into it yet. He said maybe he may not use it, or you know what I'm saying, whenever they look at the paperwork and see who owns what or whatever, you know what I'm saying, maybe he could bring it back. But yeah.
Okay.
It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Hit that music hit. I think like if you remember like a classic movie Drumline.
Mm-hmm.
Hit him with a little flight of Bubble B. Music hit, you know, man, come out. You know what I'm saying? Look like he about to do it. He turned sideways, but he just had his hands up.
Mm-hmm.
Does his little skip into the ring. Get in the ring, and then I'm just surprised. Like, it wasn't your basic stare off, and you know what I'm saying? Like, they actually mixed it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing send off. And I was watching it later, I was watching it earlier, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? After the jump went off, he starts to cut out a little promo, but I didn't watch the whole promo though. But yeah, it was great, 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 amazing TV, amazing pay per view, man.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, say a quick little piece on Tony Khan, right? So, how smart was it? You know CM Punk's back.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to sell all these pay-per-views. How smart was it to pack all this other shit in here, knowing that CM Punk was going to sell this through the roof? And now you probably got way more than you bargained for. It's like people sticking around with the product.
Very smart. Very, very, very smart, man. It was risky as hell, too, man.
Like, definitely risky.
You see the whole clip.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they got other stuff on the horizon. It's what? September right now, right? Yeah, September.
Yeah, September.
So, mm-hmm. Like, in another month, like, it's rumored that Bray Wyatt, or whatever he's going to be called, he's going to be free. So mm-hmm. They decided to get him, and I heard he got like a big paper, or not an event maybe, because I think you said the next pay-per-view is in November.
Yeah, so I think Bray is free 2 days before Halloween, and I think they pay-per-view is like that following week.
Okay. So yeah, all right, bet. So yeah, they got like a that's what I was thinking. It's like I heard it was a pay-per-view around Halloween. So if they do that,
mm-hmm.
and have him do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Has had keep growing.
Have
WWE keep losing people. My bad.
Nah, I said had the arena go dark. Everybody hold up them phones, them fireflies.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? They do a good job of maybe that ain't the best thing to add, like a complete surprise. Because
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, you got to sell tickets and stuff like that. So
right.
So like they see like the vignettes. That's how like a lot of people were hip to the Ruby Rose, Ruby Soul, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They do the vignettes right, leading up until his debut. Man, it's gonna be amazing.
Mm-hmm. So do you believe this? I don't know if you heard, but the Easter egg with CM Punk. of him having those initials on his shoes.
I did see that. Yeah.
So, yeah. So far, it's been three. It's been AC for Adam Cole, DB for Daniel Bryan, and it's been a BW. And a lot of people think that's for Bray Wyatt.
I haven't seen that one, but hey, man. It's been on point.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, they've been talking about he hasn't been the greatest at keeping secrets, and they talked about that too, with him letting the hat out of the bag on the promo saying about Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, be a little bit more patient, right? Yeah. So, but it's like one of those things where it's like you said, it's going to help with the tickets,
right?
So, let's just give them like little clues. I ain't gonna tell them, but if they could put two and two together, they'll figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it ain't gonna make niggas not buy the tickets.
Right.
So, what would you give what grade would you give the overall pay per view?
Out of 10.
Yeah, or you could do grade or numbers. Yeah, don't matter.
A+. Yeah, I'm not even gonna hold you. Like. It's nothing like I can really, really just be mad or disappointed about. Like I said, if I was just to nitpick about certain stuff, it's like I'm not even mad, but I just wonder, like the whole thing with how Ruby just came in and she's a number one contender off Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the same thing is going to happen with Daniel Bryan? Bryan Danielson, my bad. It's going to be a habit trying to change that around.
I was thinking the same thing because I messed up too. Like, it's definitely it's not a tongue twister, but it's just you just get used to it.
We've been saying Daniel Bryan for like 10 years almost.
Yeah, it was funny because when he was doing the backstage interview, somebody called him Daniel Bryan. He said, Daniel? You know, so it was funny him just being incurred to. So it was like kind of like funny. He took it was like, interesting, like me, for like a small tidbit. Mm-hmm. He took an interesting take as far as interview, but you know he's like kidding around or whatever. How Punk came in and said he wanted like working with these people and all that, train and be the support system. Daniel Bryan, like, nah, I'm here to kick their ass. Like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Come across like a little heelish, but okay. He definitely looked like he's going to be a face for him coming out helping Jurassic Express and Christian and all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
But yeah, they knocked it out of the park. I can't really have no real gripes about anything other than the Paul White match. But like I said, like when you just like deep dive into the business, I'm wondering why they put that there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like you know what I'm saying? Like we will try to like understand the business and inner workings and stuff instead of like just complaining. Try to understand why. You know what I'm saying? And I've heard placement like that, you know what I'm saying? That's the reason why they have placement like that. So, no complaints here. What about you?
I get this pay per view A+. There was really nothing to not like about this pay per view. You know what I mean? From start to finish, everything just built up to the excellent finish. Like I was saying off air, man, this is like, I'm not saying that they're champions, but this is like normally how a championship team is built. You got the stars and you got your role players and everybody just got to excel at what they good at. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody, and like you said earlier, probably about a good 20 or something minutes ago, like right now there's just no pride and ego.
Mm-hmm.
And if as long as they can figure out how to like keep it like this for as long as they can, then I think they'll be good, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I'm about to say, yeah, it's like they having a good balance of like people fighting each other. I think that's going to help keep it that way or, you know what I'm saying, preserve it. Like instead of having CM Punk coming and go straight at Kenny Omega, he's working with some of the younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, like a Darby Allin, you know what I'm saying? Have something to look for.
Right.
As opposed to maybe he's not thrust into the title picture, but like you got something. The next best thing is wrestling with one of the best in the world.
Facts.
On his homecoming. So that's so many eyes on you. And Punk's already talking about how he wanted to work with like everybody else back there. You know what I'm saying? So like
mm-hmm.
that's how you do it. You build them, you keep the morale high. The same stuff we were saying about the other company need to do. And AEW was just killing it.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention all the ascenders that's not even wasn't even on the card. You still got the Malakai Black. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I was thinking about that too. I'm like, hey, how do you have the best pay per view ever, and then you exclude people like him? No Pac.
No Andrade.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and I can tell you one thing. They're going to have to get like, they're going to even have to stretch Rampage, because they have a lot of good talent.
Yeah.
So
like we be on point. I was thinking the same thing. That was like my hopes for the second show. Then I was like, damn, it's so late and it's only an hour.
Uh-huh.
But they are filling that 1 hour with like crazy.
Oh yes. That I'm impressed with that too.
Did you hear the lineup for the Rampage coming up?
Other than Andrade and Pac, no.
Oh my god, forgive me for forgetting, but I think it's like John Moxley gonna have one of them. I think that match he was supposed to have, because I don't think he was supposed to fight, because he fought now on the, this jump. So he's gonna have a high profile match on that jump, and there's like one other like big match on that same level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's gonna be super love, and of course. They've been slicing Dynamite. It's going to be in John Moxley's hometown, so they've been putting that out there too.
Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. So this might be lining up to be John Moxley week. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's another thing I like to throw out there is like they let everybody get love in their hometown, man.
Right. I think a couple shows ago we were just talking about how what's his name? Just came back to the main roster from getting chopped out.
Oh,
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee, okay.
He lost coming back in Texas playing in front of his home crowd and got jobbed out to Karrion Kross.
Yeah, and that's so like typical. Like that's so consistent with WWE. Like they'll have you, even if you're on a roll, you'll go back home and you'll lose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
like this. Like
so many losses when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, utterly ridiculous. But you let the person have their little moment. Like when Britt Baker was in Pittsburgh and she comes out with the custom little Pittsburgh Penguins jacket. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Everybody's waving terrible towels. Like why deprive somebody of that kind of moment?
Right.
You know what I mean?
This dumb, bro.
Yeah. And now, you know, we've already mentioned how just a tidbit since you brought up the Karrion Kross. We've already mentioned how like they've changed his gimmick up and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I seen a joke on Twitter this morning and shit. And the joke was like, any day now I should be expecting Karrion Kross to just go from hit that name to just Cross and shit. And then somebody was like, why? And then there was like a court in events. Scarlett was the one doing all the carrying, so she get the name now instead of him or whatever. I said, nigga's funny as shit.
Yeah, it is as hell, man.
Yeah. So speaking of Vince, though, how'd you like the Adam Cole saying no chance in hell? That the Elite is now not the most dominant faction in the history of this business. How'd you like him like throwing out that no chance in hell line?
I did not catch that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I did remember him saying that they're the best faction in WWE history. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't catch the no chance in hell thing. And it's like funny that you said it because I seen like a little thumbnail. Mm-hmm. It seemed like somebody was alluding to that, but they had Vince up there. But they were saying like it was Vince's reaction to it. Of course, they don't have Vince reaction. That shit was so late. I don't think they had no Vince reaction to that shit. So that's why I ain't paying no attention. But like, I didn't catch that though. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So probably kind of like a little subliminal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And like now that you say it, I would say this: like outside of Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan. They spoke so highly of WWE. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I was like super surprised. You know what I'm saying? How like Bryan Danielson talked about his relationship with Vince, like how Vince loved him and all this, that, and the third. And you know me, I'm like just trying to analyze. I'm like, is this bull? Like he loved him so much. Why didn't he? He didn't even want to put the belt on you. If it wasn't for your crazy movement, you probably wouldn't have got the belt. You know
hell,
what I'm saying?
Hell nah. Hell nah.
So it's crazy. Like, I don't know if they're just being just super political. But I mean, granted, I know like Adam Cole's state probably was so great because he was in NXT. I know H treated him great or whatever. And it was just amazing. But it was funny. Then you get to see him pump. And he referenced it too. He was like, yeah, I mean, something to say. Like, they say, well, he was mainly talking about Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, like, hey, they say that, but you're here. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, what you said a couple seconds ago, I think it's super political. You know, you never want to burn the bridge all the way.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what could happen. So, might need to go back one day. And then I'm quite sure Vince will take you back, but it's what's going to happen once you get back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that'd be the difference between them niggas treating you semi-regular if you ever go back versus like, oh yeah, you can come back and you're going to lose for 50 weeks in a row. You know what I'm saying?
Job the hell out, dumb gimmicks and all that.
Yeah. So happy Daniel or some shit like that. But yeah, I definitely look forward to seeing like what's in store up next with this company.
Yeah, I mean, I was already excited. I'm like super excited.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, I'm definitely going to be tuning in to AEW. Still going to be tuning in to WWE, see what's going on.
Of course.
I'll be locked in on Dynamite and the Rampage. Like I said, I'm going to try to start watching AEW Dark and all that.
Mm-hmm. See what we missing out on the doc episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely gave this pay-per-view an A freaking plus.
Yeah.
Man, what a pay-per-view, bro. What a pay-per-view.
Yeah, like you just like the way you just feel the energy and electricity, dog. Like imagine if you was there, dog.
That crazy. I couldn't. It's the crowd, just the whole entire night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Singing every theme song and going crazy for whoever come out. And how many this is awesome chants did we hear last night? Or the holy shit chants? Like,
A-E-W.
Right.
A-E-W.
Yeah. Right. Like, just, oh, man. Crazy times. Like you said, man, what a time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine it. Me and Knight had the privilege of being there opening night when it came to DC. And that was a spectacle, man. Like, just being outside. They had us outside for a little while, and the camera crews was filming the joint, and that same chant was echoing outside, AEW, and just so much electricity that whole night, young. It was amazing. So like, I would imagine like it had to be like that times 100 for the CM Punks, the Britt Bakers, the Christian Cage, the Moxley, everything, man.
Yeah. I can't wait to see them again. And I ain't even outside of like, I'm like, oh yeah, all right. I know these are two dudes that be with Pac or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I like that they great wrestling, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? They don't cut like the best promos and they don't do all that stuff. So like that stuff that really brings you in. You know what I'm saying? But definitely see where they're ready to go. Oh, and what do you think about this?
What?
I thought you was about to allude to it. Now since the Bucks don't have the tag team titles, I think I heard rumors about it and never heard too much about it since they initially talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Six man tag team championships, Adam Cole with the Young Bucks.
Okay, like a little trios jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, considering that AEW has so many like trios groups.
Yeah.
Like, it could work. There's enough of them to, you know, and that way you could kind of, all that talent that you got, you can kind of start grouping people together more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that belt, had them belts, and maybe one more singles belt.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I would do that first, because they need one more of them. I think the females need probably like another belt too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like how they got the TNT championship, the female need like a female. They need like a female version of that, because it's way too many of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I would be on board with the trios, John. That would be a great idea. Not sure who could beat them three though.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. It was so tough to beat the Young Bucks alone. Then you add an A-plus player like Adam Cole to the mix.
Like, that's like, it's like the Warriors getting KD or something.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And before we go get to our what the fuck fact, I just gotta say this one more time, bro. The spikes on the Jordans, bro. Bro, that was crazy.
Yeah, I had a better look at it, cause like the stream I was watching was a little bit fuzzy.
Okay.
And I watched somebody like upload the clip, or maybe it was AEW uploaded the clip, and yeah, that shit looking crazy.
Yeah, that. Wow. Okay, all right. We can be marveling all day at this, man. That's what happens when you see a spectacle, man.
Yeah, man. You just get so lulled asleep from the WWE pay per views just to see something amazing like this.
Yeah, they have to. They got to get it together. All right. So you ready to get into these what the fuck facts, though?
Yes, sir.
All right. So let me pull mine up right quick. And I cannot find it. You want to go first?
Yeah, man. All right. So what do you think about sheep?
It's a lot of them out here in more ways than one.
Would you say like kind of like harmless? You know what I'm saying? Like what is their purpose, right?
Yeah, not too sure outside of like they little fur and shit.
Right. So that's one big thing. And then one big thing you don't think about is they're grazing. So like a lot of people use them to like eat at weeds and maintain farmland or just agriculture in general.
Mm-hmm.
So did you know, I forget the name of the place, it's some foreign country. And they have like a string of mudslides, and back in 2007. Okay. So this place spent over $110 million trying to like figure out what's going on, build like structures to try to stop the landslides. And it comes to find out it's from the sheep.
For real?
Yeah, by them grazing on the plants and trees, it loosens up the soil, and that was causing the landslides, the mudslides and stuff like that. And also in that time of them just stomping on the grass or walking on the grass, them packing the ground like that also helped with flooding.
Oh, so wow.
It's just amazing to see, like, damn, after all that research, you just spent like $110 million trying to build up crazy structures to stop the landslide and research what's going on. And just by them eating up all the trees, and because the roots keep the soil compacted and stop that.
Right.
Them eating the shit, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. Bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making 100 and something million, and all you had to do was get rid of them niggas and shit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. I ain't know.
Save like so much money just building up some fence and just herding the niggas away from the area.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, either or. I'm about to say, yeah, definitely herding niggas away and shit. Yeah, that's crazy. You, where that said again?
I can't remember. It's like crazy. It's something begin with a C. Costa Rica or something like that, maybe.
Oh, okay. Don't give me that's about the only place I know that started with a C too.
Yeah, it's like funny. Like I said, I was just looking at right before the show and I had it. Then that's like the one place I forgot, the one little tidbit I forgot. But and it was because I was like looking up something else. Like it was like a crazy video, and it was like started talking about something else. It was started talking about these I think what they call it, like some birds. I forgot the name of the bird, but they were talking about their relationship with the farm life.
Okay.
And or just animals in general. Like how this bird is supposed to be like a teammate. You know how like those sharks have like those little fish that like eat off the parasites and stuff?
Oh yeah, algae eaters.
Yeah. That was the bird supposed to do to like cows, hippos, giraffes, zebras. It's supposed to eat the ticks off of the body.
Oh, okay.
But it turns out, after research, that the birds weren't eating the ticks. They were just opening up more wounds on the animals, and they were just drinking the blood. So, like, after they scared the birds away, they noticed that still the same amount of ticks, the animals are still same sick rate, but, you know what I'm saying, they just didn't have as many big wounds. Right. So that was a crazy video.
Yeah, that's wild, man. The whole time niggas I'm turning heel on a cow and all that.
Oh no, boy, sticking their big beaks up in the straight long flesh wounds and stuff. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. You probably see the little ticks and shit. Let me see what these niggas keep doing and shit, man. Let me see. Yeah. Hey, this shit ain't half bad, OT.
Yeah, and they were just saying how like they don't even eat the ticks right away. They still let the ticks go to work and get blood in them, so I guess they'd be more tastier.
Mm-hmm. All right, fuck that. Let me just do it my damn self. Right. All right. So my dog also was dealing with animals and shit. The honey badger, so to speak. So this is about the honey badger's fur. Obviously, we know the honey badger is known for its two-tone color and obviously nicknames of Tyrann Mathieu. LSU standout.
Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, I guess. And but this is about the animal and his fur and the thickness of it. So the honey badger's fur is so thick it can withstand things like snake bites, if you tried to cut it with a machete, if you tried to shoot an arrow into it, even if you tried to stab it with a spear. Its fur is too thick for any of that to work.
That is crazy.
Yes, you would have to get a very strong gun and shoot a honey badger.
So I'm guessing like his weakness is probably the underbelly or something like that. Or do he have any weaknesses?
I don't think so.
Damn.
If I had to take an educated guess, I would say probably his head.
Okay.
But I don't know. That might be the fucking around be the strongest point in some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that was my fact of the day. The honey badger's thick fur.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy. You be saying like, you know, especially since we like do a lot of animals with the what the fuck facts and shit. You be saying like how a lot of these animals be like structured or how they be living and shit, and that shit be like really crazy, don't it?
Yeah, man. Yeah, like stuff like you wouldn't know. Like I wouldn't know he has like that crazy defense system. I'm thinking something like if somebody has something like that, I'm thinking armadillo. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For some fur to be that crazy, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that shit. Man, that shit. It like hearing yours and then this one and then the other jumps we did. It make you just want to sit around and watch like a little National Geographic Johnson shit.
Yeah, I do, man. Like that joint about the tree, the acacia trees, like that was like that really blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you can like warn niggas around you. Hey, man, you think oh, eating the foliage and stuff, man?
It's in the mist out. Fuck it.
No bull.
Yeah, like that shit is lit. So nature is lit in general and shit.
Yeah, it's so much stuff that we don't know, we're learning every day. That's why, like, I'm amazed by it. Like, I do like watch this stuff every once in a while. I go down a wormhole. Like, I want to know what's in the deep ocean, the Mariana Trench, they say. Stuff that we just can't simply research because the stuff, the pressure, the darkness, the temperature down there, we just don't have the tools yet to deal with that. There's so much stuff down there that like was like regular animals at first, and then they somehow, some way, it goes down there in that pressure and it morphs into a whole different animal.
All right.
Crazy.
But man, yeah, that shit. You fuck around and it's a part of the ocean where a human can morph or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? You fuck around and never know. But yeah. Definitely look forward to be super into that shit, man.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to chime on before we get up out of here?
Yes. Want to give a super, super, super duper shout out to Tony Khan, man. For this guy to be so young, dealing with so much, like with the NFL that's about to start up. He was saying like how he was like dealing with AEW, then fly to the preseason game, talking to jury and all that. And he's done his like the England football team too. So juggling three different sports and at the main level, you know what I'm saying? And still to put on a great car like this and still to be able to land top free agents like this. Definitely just want to give a shout out to you, brother. And like, I just appreciate him, bro. It's like, this is what we needed. Like, an owner like him and a company like his. Thank you.
Definitely shout out to him. Definitely shout out for him trusting Cody Rhodes and them. For coming to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I forgot to even mention his name earlier when you saying like people that's not people on the call. Missing?
Yeah. There's so many people, bro. Sheesh.
Mm-hmm. So
the other joint. I think Dusty Rhodes is supposed to fight somebody.
Oh, Malakai Black.
There you go.
Yep.
That's gonna be a crazy rampage.
Yeah, as soon as you said his name, I remember because actually he cut a promo last night.
Yeah.
I love this character of like him being the bad guy and talking to you like you're the bad guy. Like him being like the hill and then talking to you like what you're doing is wrong though, so he's punishing you for doing like other side from the joint last night, he had cut this promo, I think it was like on Dynamite, and he was saying like cuz that he ended up fighting or whatever, I think it was, which one of the was it R. Anderson's son?
Yep.
Yeah, cuz he talking about, you know, I somewhat like you. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to make this real quick and painless. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He's like,
but trying to get him the back out of the match and all that.
Yeah. Like, but anybody else that like try to come to your defense, you know, they going to have to suffer though. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I guess we going to see if Dustin going to suffer. So. Yeah, I like the little shit like that. Like a nigga's clearly wrong. Acting like you the wrong one and shit though.
Hey man, perspective.
Yeah, we both were super high on Aleister Black. Like,
yeah. It's like one of them guys like I researched before coming to NXT and I'm like super excited. Like, no homo. Has an amazing look. The tattoos and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Had a great gimmick. They just couldn't capitalize. How don't you be able to capitalize on that? Like the way he used to pop up out of the stage, his entrance music was lit, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew when he was on that main roster, I knew they was going to drop the ball with him. He had a few, I think it was against Buddy Murphy. There's no way that this feud shouldn't have been like, I ain't going to say it had to be main event, but it should have been somewhere up there. Like, because Buddy Murphy's another person who's, like, super talented.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And the way that he debut.
Right.
Or wherever he debuts. Yeah. That's another one in the chamber.
Mm-hmm. And
all these guys with all these wrestling moves, and you get the freedom to do them, because you know in WWE a lot of moves be banned and shit. Like, how many power drivers did we see last night?
Right, brainbusters and all that, and Canadian destroyers from the top rope.
I think all that shit's banned. So, like, just being able to do this stuff freely, it makes on for more compelling matches and all that.
Yeah, definitely. Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson was like giggity when a fan asked him, like, yeah, so you know what I'm saying, now that you're AEW, do you have like a list of moves? He was like, I'm not telling you that. he can't wait to bring out the stuff, like, he can't wait to bring out.
And of course, he gave us the nostalgic knee.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that. And of course, I'm gonna need my little fix of the yes kicks, whatever you gonna call them.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, he's another wrestling machine. They got a lot of wrestling machines, man.
Yeah, like that's like one thing you're gonna get from AEW. You can get some amazing wrestling. Some amazing wrestling. And I don't even know why I even thought that about the women. Cause like they're all about the art of wrestling. Like everybody gonna be able to go. You know what I'm saying?
Even the one we're just so used to, like, even the ones that like look super good. We're used to the ones that look super good just being there for looks.
Yeah, like your Eva Marie's, no just like your Mandy Rose and stuff like that.
Right. But I mean, these chicks over here, they just, like you said off air earlier, they're like, damn, Britt Baker doing the Panama Sunrise.
that caught me all surprised. And then, even though she didn't hit the move, other girl, I forget her name already.
Statlander.
The little moonsault she tried to hit on the apron.
Oh, yeah.
That's another nice move right there.
Yeah. And she tried, I think Statlander tried like a 450, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I forgot the name of that, John. She got some crazy name. That's like one of her finishes or specials, something like that. But yeah, they can go, man.
So
I apologize again.
So like you said earlier, man, to pull over, if they could pull over like a Charlotte or a Sasha.
And they will. And that's the crazy thing. They gonna get somebody. And their friendship is so thick that like you lose one of them.
Yeah, it's gonna be a wrap.
Yeah. Because that's the stuff they express that they want to do. And if you keep holding them back and not letting them do that on your brand, they see a shiny brand over here that they can go run Rapture off that they can probably do the Four Horsewomen on.
And because over in AEW, the Forbidden Door is open, you got that chance to go be the best in the world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to be able to do... Of course, in WWE, you could say it.
Yeah.
But...
And we bought it, too, because we weren't privy to the New Japans.
Right.
To the Ring of Honors.
Right.
Like, we think, like, you ain't here, then you ain't really doing nothing.
Right. Exactly. And it's the exact opposite.
Right.
Because we seeing these niggas in AEW... We seeing John Moxley fight all these New Japan niggas. You know what I'm saying? These Ring of Honor, these TNA niggas popping up. And even though TNA ain't like super big, these niggas still got talent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, man, what a pay-per-view, man. Yeah. But with that being said, we'll get up out of here now. So, it's been another Head for the Hills podcast special edition. We, you know, y'all can get lucky this week because we about to turn around and do another one, NFL special.
Yeah, man. Gonna be just as passionate. We both love the NFL, so that's gonna be another good one.
So, y'all stay tuned for that. And we out.
Bye.